From Alfreton to Miner's Rest, 3BA's Big Show. More Ballarat.
Time to shoot the breeze with the lovely Alex Chelios from thebigsmoke.com.au. Good morning to you, Alex.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, and thank you so much for doing this an hour early this morning. Because today is National Be Kind Day, and I have the lady who started National Be Kind Day. We're talking to her just after 8:30. It was the only time she could fit in, so I appreciate the fact, and I'm being kind to you in saying that I'm very appreciative of you doing the spot an hour early.
I kindly shuffled my morning for you.
There you go.
Very kindly.
Can I start the first topic with this, Alex Chelios? No, not that one. I'll start the first topic with this.
Please explain.
Please explain the tech companies that are inviting llamas, goats and sheep to Zoom calls.
Well, first of all, I have to say that I can't imagine being the CEO of a different company to the Big Smoke, right? But if I was, I would want to be the CEO of this company where in America, in San Francisco, they're a software company. They actually created a Zoom call for all of their staff across the country, remote staff, and they had an animal sanctuary come in and, you know, come into to the meeting, and they were up on the video feed and they were being fed by everyone, and it was amazing. So this is what I believe needs to happen for that, like, poor employee morale. But basically they're hiring four-legged guests, like sheep and goats and llamas and bearded dragons. And it's all about encouraging people to engage with wildlife, because we're also pent up in our own homes at the moment during COVID. But also, it's just about making people happy. I think it's really cute, and I'm all in.
What about pigs?
Yeah, I want a pig. I want the penguins. I want the pandas. I want it all. I want it all. I think I would rather. I would love to work in a company where, like, every person offers yourself.
Well, I think you work in that company and you could make it happen because you happen to be the head of said company.
I'm going to start forcing people to, like, if you come to work, you have to bring your pig.
Do you have your dogs? Do you have your dogs join you on a Zoom call?
Sometimes. And I'm like, hi, I've got this one client and he often comes onto Zoom and he picks his dog up and puts him up. And then I put my dogs up at the camera and they all look at each other and they think we're idiots. But it's the best part of my day.
All right, moving on. The Japanese government, this might sound absolutely ludicrous to some people, but it's quite serious. The Japanese government have appointed, wait for it, a minister for loneliness. Why have they done this, Alex Chelios?
Well, I mean, it's not ludicrous because it is a problem. Loneliness, especially aging populations, is very, very much an issue, and countries are often trying to navigate that. Japan's actually the second country who have done this. The UK did it, where they dedicated a cabinet member to the issue around loneliness. And Japan is also quite well known for its loneliness epidemic and the way that it has actually manifested in society there. So the Japanese government's appointed a minister of loneliness. He's going to be implementing policies that are designed to fight isolation, you know, looking at lowering suicide rates, trying to look at workforces and how the framework within workforces can support those who are dealing with loneliness. And in Australia, interestingly, there was a study that looked into loneliness across aging populations nationwide during COVID. And what they found was that the aging population were marked themselves as less lonely than younger people during COVID because they were more likely to have been, not because they don't deal with loneliness, but because it's been a marker for such a long time. So COVID didn't increase or trigger it as much.
And if the Minister for Loneliness becomes lonely, he can always knock on the door of the Minister for Happiness, because they've got one of those in Japan too.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Let's wrap up this morning with something that, to me, is very concerning. It was concerning to you a year ago when you spoke about it, but it's only now that other people are becoming concerned about deep fake videos. What's going on here, Alex?
One of my favourite deep fake videos that are on the internet is that of Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
Turning into the Terminator.
Yes.
And then there's been, for a number of years, Tom Cruise videos where there have been deep fake videos. And now there is a new technology that can actually change the way old images that you might have of family members or videos can actually be encouraged to be interactive and animated, and that's through deepfake. But the real problem that we're facing is the ability for deepfake videos to look so realistic that it's very difficult for the average person to discern what's real and what's not. We had this happen over Christmas where the Queen did a supposed speech that was broadcast, and she criticised Prince Harry and Meghan. Now, that was a deep fake video, but people didn't realise at first, and the station was highly criticised for broadcasting it.
Yep.
And also, there are such serious ramifications of a political issue, if you saw, and you mentioned this, Jimmy, off-air as well, around a political figure saying something controversial that the public don't know is deep faking, and that triggering an offline effect. So it is concerning, and I think there's also a space from a tech perspective of being able to be faster at identifying deepfake videos, but this is going to be a major issue for us moving forward from both a legal framework, but also in terms of political and ramifications for countries versus countries.
And there's also a possibility of this intelligence being able to bring relatives back to life, Alex.
Yeah, so the images I mentioned can be animated. I saw someone yesterday from my work who actually did it for one of his great-grandfather. And he posted this photo of his great-grandfather, and the great-grandfather was looking at the camera, blinking, looking. It was creepy but amazing at the same time.
Yeah.
It reminded me a bit of a Black Mirror episode where the person who passes away never passes away because you have some sort of virtual fragment of them still. And I don't know, I mean, there's complications and ethical issues around that and also around grieving around that. But yeah, I mean, this is where we're at. And I think that we just really, this again comes back to me always saying that we need to have better regulatory frameworks globally for this type of technology.
Fake news via deep fake videos. They're with us. And, yes, it's very, very scary and in some cases a little bit creepy too. Creepy Uncle Pete shouldn't be pulled back. Alex Chelios, lovely to shoot the breeze as always. You have a great week and we'll catch up next Tuesday at the normal time.